Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
They are the New York Knicks.
We are the New York Knicks.
That's right. Go, New York.
Go, New York. Go.
Yeah. And that includes the Rangers tonight, Don. We can't forget the Rangers.
Why would we?
And you know why I don't forget the Rangers?
Why is this?
Because I sit there at the screen. I look at the screen. I see you in a beautiful sport coat with a black shirt. And I said, he's going to the Garden
tonight
to soak in that atmosphere, to be part of the beauty of New York Rangers hockey. That's why I don't forget the Rangers, Don.
Well, I'm glad I was able to remind you. Game two tonight. How about this for a little juxtaposition, if you will, Mike?
Oh, I love juxtaposition. You know I have for years.
You have. We've talked about it quite a bit. The Rangers have played 30 game ones at home in their history, and they're 22-8. They're 15-13 in game two. So kind of balances itself out. I think the Hurricanes can feel like, hey, we played a really solid game. We were down 3-1 after two. It didn't get much going, but we were the better team in the third. And we catch a break here or there, and maybe we find a way to at least force overtime in game one. So I think the Hurricanes probably feel pretty good about their chances of evening things up.
Now, and one of the things that I keep hearing, the Rangers have to clean up their game, can't take so many penalties. But in a weird sort of way, Don, does it? It kind of benefits them because they're so good at killing the power play.
I know, but it's playing with fire. It really is. This Carolina power play is. It was really good in the postseason. It was outstanding during the regular year. You know, we're talking about one of the best in the league. So why would you want to play with that kind of fire? Now I'm with you. I think it was the turning point. They went 5 for 5, but it was really 4 for 4 because the last kill was only a few seconds before Carolina balanced it out. But you saw at the end of that game with the extra attacker how much time they spent in the Rangers zone. I mean, that in effect is a power play.
Yeah.
6 on 5. So they were fortunate to kill those penalties. I think if they do that again, eventually Carolina is going to crack the code. And with these games being so tight, that could be the difference. To me, the difference in the game was the goal that Anderson allowed that Shesterkin didn't. Now, I know, Peter, you felt that you thought the Natchez goal that made it 3-2 was weak on Shesterkin. And I thought that was a really good play by Natchez. He's a really good goal scorer. He came in alone. Yeah, Igor's made that save before. I didn't think it was that soft. You have to agree the worst goal was the Panarin goal. Anderson should have had that.
It was a nothing burger.
Yeah, that you can't have that happen. All these games be one goal games. So that penalty, that power play goal, that save that's not made could be the big difference. So do not play with fire. As good as the kill was, Michael, if you remember going back to game two against the Capitals, the only two power play goals the Capitals had the entire series was in game two, and that game ended up going right down to the nub. You just don't. You're not going to go and not commit any penalties, but I'm telling you, you keep giving this team 4 or 5 power play opportunities, eventually they're going to score. And it could end up being a real problem. So try to stay out of the box. I think now, that's really important.
Do we know if Rempe's playing tonight?
Well, Rempe's going to play. It looks like it's the same lineup. But
so Hedl still just waits.
He waits, but I will say this. I'm reading the tea leaves, Michael. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get any information out of the coach. But he skated with the extras in an optional today after skating with the extras during practice. Now, the Rangers will probably tell you that's because he hasn't played a ton of minutes in this postseason because he hasn't been playing in the close games in the third period. He only plays about 7-8 minutes. And he worked out with the on an optional last Saturday when I was down in D.C. I went to the practice and there were only, four or five regulars. He was one of the regulars that skated. So it's not that crazy that he has participated in the optionals. And why not? He's a rookie. He's a kid. But it also tells you that if there is somebody that could get scratched, if they wanted to put Hedl in, it would probably be Rempe. Rempe has committed a penalty in 4 of the first 5 playoff games. I just have this sneaking suspicion if he commits a penalty that costs them the game, he could be the odd man out. and he's not really as needed in this series as he was against the Capitals because they don't play that same type of game. So I the lineup looks like it's going to be the same, and it will continue to be the same if they continue to win. Coaches do not like to make changes after wins. But that's probably something to keep an eye on if they do lose. Because Hedl's too good of a player, and he's cleared to play. So I think it's just a matter of time before he finds a way to get back in there.
Now, I've got some stats. I've come armed with stats.
Love it. Go ahead.
Anderson has bounced back and starts following a loss across the past two seasons. Since the start of the 22-23 season, Anderson has a 12-5-1 record and starts following a loss. That's regular and playoffs combined, and he has a 2.22 goals against average. Now, this one's on the Rangers. With another multi-point outing in Game 2, Zibanejad would become the first player in Rangers history to record five consecutive multi-point games in the playoffs and just the seventh active player to do so. So we got some things there. Yeah. I brought numbers with me. I thought it enhanced the party atmosphere.
Now, the Rangers have won three of the four meetings this year. They played three times in the regular season and, of course, the one game the other night. So the Rangers are 3-1 against Carolina, but Carolina actually has an edge in goals 10-8 because one of the games they won was a 6-1 win, and all three of the Ranger wins against Carolina have been by a goal. So that's kind of the way you're going to play it. I think this is going to be a long, fun series. So when do they blink, Michael? 5-0 to start. The only other two President's Trophy winners to have a longer streak to start a playoffs was the 94 Rangers, who went seven straight games without a loss. Dallas in 99, Colorado, I believe it was in when they won the cup the other in 21, where they won their first six. So they win tonight, and it'll be only the 94 Rangers that got off to a hotter start in a postseason to begin. It's only holding serve, guys, right? Same thing with the Knicks tomorrow. You got to win your home games, and then you see what happens on the road. But the Rangers are a perfect 5-0. I would think at some point they're going to blink. You just hope it's not tonight where they give up home ice advantage.
All right, so let me give you what you need to know. Canes, Rangers tonight. They drop the puck at 7. So immediately following our show, Don has the pregame show at 6:30. And then 7 o'clock, boom, you got the Hurricanes and the Rangers. And then end of the game until midnight, it's ESPN New York tonight.
Larry and Gordon do a good job.
You think so?
Yeah, very good job.
I love both of them.
Do you agree, Peter? You don't want to be the odd man out here.
I'm a big fan. Are you kidding me?
Of both?
Yeah, Lago.
Okay.
If you had to take one over the other, who'd you take?
I'd rather not say.
I understand.
Gordon. No. Just kidding.
Wow, he said Gordon.
I actually got it backwards, too.
You're unbelievable.
I said the go. I meant the la. I'm a la guy. I like go. I like go. I love la.
Gordon featured in the sports phone book. I was happy to see that.
I got one of the authors. It wasn't Howie. It was the other guy who handed me a book over the weekend.
You're mentioned, Michael, but it doesn't sound like you were a participant in this ordeal.
No, because they kept wanting to interview me, Don, right? And I said, I don't want to be that guy claiming that I was more at Sports Phone than I was. I wasn't. I was essentially a clerk who they allowed to do some, reports. I mean, I did all the little things in the office. So, I mean, that was when I sounded like Vinnie Barbarino. They weren't going to pop me on the phone.
But you have stories. You can contribute.
But I didn't want to take the air out of the room for people that like you and people that really contributed to Sports Phone. I was just there. I mean, it was a job for me. It was exciting to be kind of quote unquote in the business. But like, I really wasn't a big part of Sports Phone. I didn't want to phony it up. I told Howie Carpin that because I've helped Howie with other books. I just felt dumb doing this.
I think that's a wrong attitude because you work there. You have stories. It's about the history of Sports Phone, and you're a part of it. There's
a lot of stories
people.
I can't tell, Don.
Well, I get it.
Including me and Giannone.
I get it. There's a lot of stories I couldn't tell. But there's a lot of people that are in the book that were just there for a short period of time. Chris Carino wasn't there for a long time. Steve Cangelosi wasn't there for a long time. But they're big names in the industry that contributed.
Well, I'll tell you one story that I'm glad it's not in the book because I'll say it now. It'll go into air. But when I worked at Sports Phone, I lived at home.
Okay.
So when I would go out on a date, Sports Phone would end up being the end of the night, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah. And the things, you know, that happened there, I couldn't repeat.
But funny. Right there, that's a story.
Yeah, I don't want that in the book.
Leave him wanting more.
That's
no,
right.
No.
There's one thing in the book that is kind of awkward. Because remember, there's an announcer. Hmm. So I'll give you this much, and you could read the book and find it out. There's an announcer of a big-time team in New York.
Big-time team.
That did not root for that team. Rooted for their rival. And it ends up in the book. Attributed to me. So I'm the one that exposed it. I was just retelling a story that was told to me by, I don't know if you ever worked with Kevin Rogers?
No.
He was an old-time sports phone guy. And this guy worked at Sports Phone. So it ends up in the book, and it's attributed to me. So I'm sorry, so-and-so.
If it's in the book, just tell us who you're talking about.
Yeah, it's already out.
It's our show.
Might as well give it to us.
All right. So the Bob Papa story.
He wasn't a Giant fan.
He wasn't a Giant fan.
Now.
Yeah, well, no question. But
you were a Devils fan. You're a Ranger fan.
But, right. Yeah, who cares?
But I've been outed. I don't know if Bob was outed. And Bob... Bob,
you outed the Bob story, Papa.
The
wow.
The story that was told to me, at the 919 offices on 3rd Avenue, that's where you worked out of Sports Phone. I worked there out of phone programs. I didn't go to Sports Phone until they were out in Long Island. There was a long hallway. So to hype himself up for the shift, Bob would run a full sprint and dive headfirst and slide on the linoleum on the long hallway.
Oh, my goodness.
To pump himself up. So that's in the book, too.
You know who was my boss at Sports Phone?
Was King Wally, yeah.
You know, the guy who's the voice of Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mike Walsewski.
Everybody worked there, Peter.
I can tell. You.
No, I'm everybody.
Well, I saw the cover of the book. It's a who's who.
How much did Gary do there, Don?
Cohen?
Gary Cohen.
A lot early a on, lot? Like 77, 78.
Gacko.
Yeah, Howie Rose.
Howra.
Al Troutwig.
Al
Papa.
Bob.
Chris Carino.
Bopa.
Michael Kay.
Mika.
Why don't we just go Mika?
Mika. Oh like Sabanajet. You can hang out with Bread.
Bread.
Yeah. It's time now for the pinstripe.
Well, I love it. You know what? I've been thinking about it all day.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to be able to move on without this.
The Yankees are 10 games over 500.
Why not?
That's nice.
And they're playing the Astros tonight. Verlander against Heel.
Who are 10 games
over.
John,
do you know what was the high water mark for last year for the Yankees?
Oh, they got to, what was it, 8 or 9?
No.
6-1.
11 games over.
Wow.
They went to 36-25 at the end of play on June 4th. That was the day after Aaron Judge ran into the wall in L.A. And then the rest, as they say, is history. So the Yankees will try to go 11 over today. That was the Pinstripe Report. Brought to you by Bet365. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Let's go back to the phones. There's so much to talk about, so much to do, so little time to do it. Time is running out on all of us. Every second we live, it's 1 second closer to death. So let's get this rolling.
Oh, my God.
That's one way of looking at the day.
Let's go to Caesar in Huntington. Hello, Caesar.
Born to live, a life to die, life so damn short, and I wonder why.
Hey,
hello.
Caesar. Hey, what do you got?
Peter. Michael. Peter, by the way, yeah, Dana White, how do we snatch purses from Brazilian? By the way,
that was a very funny line by Andrew Schultz. Credit where credit is due. That was very funny.
Great. That was phenomenal. And by the way, Dom, how are we doing with the Rangers? Are we holding it down or what? How do you feel about the series?
I think it's going to. I thought what you saw in game one is we're going to see the rest of the series. All one goal games. I don't think you're going to see 7 goals every night. I think it's going to be a little bit less offensive than it was on Sunday. But the way I described it is every win by both teams is going to feel like giving birth. This is going to be a really tough series to get through, no question.
Totally agree with you. And Michael.
Yeah.
How we doing with the Yankees, Yankee boy?
Oh, boy.
All right, bye, Caesar. You know, I don't have the ability to hang up on you, so I'm going to ask Anthony to do it.
Oh,
my God.
No, don't
do it.
What kind of questions are these? How are we doing with the Rangers? How are we doing with the... I mean, how are we doing? Give me a question. That sounds like the bad guys that get tape at a stadium. Tell me about... That's not a question. Yeah. Tell me about...
Tell me a little bit about the offensive line play. Oh, no, I think
how are we doing?
I'm completely... listen, he seemed like a nice guy, but there was something going on there.
I know what is going on.
What was going on?
A little toke of the old.
Oh no,
the
there's bonge. No question he was high, but I don't. That's not why he was disconnected.
Right, you're saying there's something else. A lot of people are high.
There was a lot of things going on there, and I'm on board with Michael. I was sensing something.
It was time. I enjoyed him in an odd way, but it was time.
You enjoy odd things for some reason. You really do.
Well, no, he had a funny way about him, and he did remind me of the funny line about Dana White from the roast. Don, if you missed it. Andrew Schultz said about Dana White being there. He went, Dana White is here. Oh, I figured out the reason Dana White is here. I'm butchering this completely, but essentially Dana White is there because he can teach Brady the way of stealing a purse from a Brazilian.
Because that was a good line.
I completely ruined it, but obviously you know half the MMA is Brazilian fighters, Gisele Bündchen. You get the idea.
I get it. I understand everything.
But, you know, Brady didn't get it because he didn't even know that Gisele was Brazilian.
Such an odd moment. He's an odd cat, that Brady, who's had a lot of work done.
I was going to say, I get the sense that from what you're telling me, he produced the Jace.
I wonder what his incentive was.
What, to get work done?
No, that I know. Although he did do a lot. I mean, his hair,
looks terrific.
But when you look at where his hair was after the first few years in the league, it was so clearly on the way out. And now it just keeps going and going and going.
And it looks lustrous, let's be honest.
It really does. I do think people sort of overrated the Ben Affleck work.
Overrated? I underrated.
Meaning I just don't think it was as bad, as noticeable. It just, he looks like he shaved.
I thought his performance.
That's what I thought.
Oh, no, I heard his performance was awful, but everyone was talking about his face, and he shaved his face all the way down with no stubble at all, so he looked different, but I didn't think his face looked that different.
But his eyes looked different.
It just didn't, I expected it to be more glaring. Did you see any outfits at the Met Gala that angered you?
Yeah, all of them.
Everyone.
Really.
Now, we ended the show yesterday. I'm telling you. And so as I was in the car driving to the event I had to go to, I kept thinking, did I give the right answer? The only way I would go to the Met Ball or the Met Gala.
Is if your wife asked you to.
Well, if she asked me and I wouldn't get dressed up like a clown boy, I would wear a tuxedo. Like when Brady went, he like a clown.
What did Brady wear? I don't remember.
Yeah, you know, some kind of like embroidered gold thing, his lapels. He looked silly. They even brought it up during the roast. So if I just wore a Tom Ford tuxedo, I'd look terrific and I'd go. But I think it's the worst of all of us that night. The worst of all of us.
I mean, not everyone's that bad. I bet you would. I bet if you looked up Emily Ratajkowski's outfit, you'll be just fine with it.
I saw. No, she looked good. That was a decent outfit. A lot of backal nudity.
Oh, frontal nudity, too.
I didn't see frontal.
Oh, yeah. You got to get the right angle with the light. There was a lot of frontal as well. There was a lot of everything going on.
She's a very pretty girl.
Oh, that's such a bold statement you've made here at 417 on
Do
this.
Do you know that last night I met one of the Real Housewives of New York?
Which one?
Kelly Ben-Simon.
I don't know that one. Okay.
You don't know her?
I don't know Kelly Ben-Simon.
So she was introduced to me, and if caring on a level of 0 to 10, like couldn't care less, is 0.
She was below that for you.
She was about -4. I mean, talk about like looking over my shoulder. She had no desire to even say a word.
Who is she?
Isn't that the worst feeling?
I said, I'm fine. I don't want to meet you either.
No, well, you said that, but you said it out of defensiveness because now you felt bad.
Well, but I mean, it wasn't like I saw, she's a very beautiful woman, but I see Kelly Ben-Simon there. And like, I didn't nudge somebody. Hey, introduce me.
Right. She was just a person there. Right.
And then somebody brought her over. This is, he's the MC tonight, voice of the Yankees, blah, blah, blah. And like, wow, like right through me.
Anyone else interesting there? Any other greats or near greats?
Sarah Kustak was there.
Oh, I love the Kustak. Big fan.
Jack Curry.
Love Jack Curry. Did you talk to him about Drake Kendrick at all?
I didn't because I kept being pulled in all kind of directions. Mm. But Nancy Newman was there. Mm. Aaron Boone was there. Oh. Tino Martinez was there.
Now you're starting to cook a little.
Nick Swisher was there.
Yeah, I'm back a notch.
Gracie Cashman, the host of the show that the event was about, was there. It was fun. It was fun.
Sounds like a good time.
People from other networks were there.
People from other networks were there.
Flip was there.
Flip was there?
Was there.
Did you wake him up?
Flip was very much awake. He was in the front row.
Really?
Yeah.
Wake up, Flip.
And he coasted. You know what? He doubles down on breaking, going to the batting practice show.
He did?
No, of course he does. It's, he
was, Sweeney Murdy was there?
Who?
Was, Sweeney Murdy was there?
No, he's wrong. I think if we got into a debate about it, I'd win.
I think the numbers would tell you that you're wrong.
No.
I think the numbers would tell you you're wrong.
People would rather tune into the batting
practice. All I do is, listen, we get great numbers for simulcast, but the batting practice show does better numbers.
Then we should quit. If that's true, then we should quit.
I think you're being lied to.
No, there's no way. I see the number.
Now, no, you don't see the numbers.
We destroy other shows that don't even get ratings that are opposite us. That's a talk show.
I'm sure there might be days that it beats us, but overall, we beat the batting practice show, Michael. It's a batting practice show.
No, I think you're wrong, bud.
No.
You don't understand the power of the New York baseball Yankees.
Then send the numbers to me. Don't be like the owners during a labor strike.
I am not hiding numbers
from
you.
Open your books, Flip. That's going to be the new one. Instead of wake up, Flip. Open the books, Flip.
I'll send you the numbers.
Do it.
Let's go to Fly. Flavio in Brooklyn. Flav!
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
How you doing?
Don and Peter.
What's up?
So, I was talking to Andrew about it, and I feel like one of the things that we're going to have to look
at. Wait a minute.
I'm so sorry. Anthony, I'm sorry.
Oh, you just heard Anthony. You don't know what he's going through.
Sorry, Anthony. But I was talking to Anthony, and I was telling him that one of the key matches that we're going to have to look at in the Knicks series is that if Jalen Brunson is going to be consistently guarded by Andrew Nembhard, because I believe, what was it, Brunson ended up scoring like 18 or 20 points, and he was cooking in the fourth quarter. And if Rick Carlisle is going to consistently have Nembhard guarding Brunson, I agree with Kendrick Perkins. I feel like the Knicks will win in five, maybe even in a sweep, because we're facing Tyrese Haliburton, who looks compromised. OG Anunoby was doing pretty well defensively, and if the Villanova boys can consistently play at the caliber that they're playing at, I wouldn't be surprised if this ends in a sweep. I know that sounds ridiculous, but listen.
You're allowed to feel that way. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. That's a good team that's deep, and they could change their defense. And it doesn't matter the defense on Brunson, because they had great defenders on the Sixers that couldn't stop him. You got to stop everybody else. You can't let DiVincenzo get off. You can't let Hart get off. You can't just say, okay, let Brunson have his 40. But it almost seems like that's a fait accompli now.
I don't know. I don't understand. I'm not saying you shouldn't be excited, but this is where we end up getting calls from people saying that Knick fans are delusional. That you watched last night and your feeling is, oh, we're not going to lose a game in this series. When you almost lost game one and in some way should have lost game one, you didn't, and good on you. But I walk away from saying, I think we're going to have a hell of a series. I'm going to stick with my six. I don't know if you're going to sway from your five, Michael. But did you walk away from that game saying the Knicks aren't going to lose? Now, maybe they do, but is it going to be based off anything you saw last night? Halliburton's not going to be held to 6 points every game, you wouldn't think. Is DiVincenzo going to shoot like this every single game? As good as Brunson is he going to shoot 60% every game? And all that happened, and you still came down to a final possession. I'm kind of surprised by it. You took from that, oh, we're not going to lose another game.
Well, I mean, those are fans. That's how he feels. Hey, the hit home run, everything needs to line up perfectly, no different than finding the person you want to marry. When the time comes to propose, do what I did. Visit the engagement experts at London Jewelers. They'll make shopping for a ring easy and help you hit it out of the park. Let them help you pick or design the perfect ring to fit any budget from their 2 by London collection. London Jewelers is committed to getting it just right, so visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Mention I told you to stop by, you'll get the Michael K. treatment.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team.
Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you know what I have here, and it's important. Yankees starting lineup.
We didn't do this already?
No. On 98.7 ESPN, is brought to you by Bigelow Tea and Serta Pro Painters. Volpe at short leads off. Soto and right bat second. Hitting third, center fielder Aaron Judge. Alex Verdugo in left will clean up. Batting fifth, the DH Giancarlo Stanton. Batting sixth, first baseman Anthony Rizzo. Gleyber Torres at second will bat seventh. Batting eighth and catching, Jose Trevino. And John Birdie is at third base batting ninth. Justin Verlander is going to start for the Astros. Luis Gil is going to start for the Yankees. That's tonight's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael K. Show and the official hot tea of the New York Yankees and Serta Pro Painters. When choosing a painting professional for your home or business, the choice is simple. Choose happy. Choose Serta Pro Painters. So we're kind of anxiously awaiting the final two-minute report. And so with Bart and Hahn, they had on Steve Javy, the former referee in the NBA, now works for us. And Steve Javy was asked, is the last two-minute report a good or a bad thing?
The last two-minute report has always been, I guess you could say the word would be controversial. A lot of people like it. Some people don't. I think the commissioner really wanted to do it for a couple of reasons. One, to be a little transparent. But number two, to show how really consistent and accurate the officials majority of the times are. That doesn't mean officials don't miss calls. When I talk to people, I say, we miss calls every night. We just hope it's not at the most inopportune time. That's all it is. And also during the season, it's funny, we can go weeks without talking about any kind of L2Ms, and then all of a sudden they have, you know, a missed call or two at the end of the game, and now it's all about the L2Ms. It's not going to make plays go away. It's not going to make people feel really any better.
Then what's the purpose? That's what I just don't get it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But when you hear coaches and players talking about it, I just think it's a way to scout at least those officials. What are their tendencies? Michael, we're such an analytic world. Everything is deciphered. I see it in the NHL all the time. All right, what do these officials call? This one calls more holding penalties. This one likes interference calls. This one lets things go. This one likes to blow the whistle. You don't think all that is scouted by coaches and players in preparation for the game? And so this two-minute report is probably something that's thrown into the hopper. But these are the mistakes
that are made. They got video. They know if an official made a bad call. They know.
But to know what the NBA feels about it. Like now you're going to go in to tomorrow's game armed with the information for the two-minute report that might have, maybe all of it will just get thrown away, but maybe some of it can be used down the road as how are they going to call this and how do we move forward in the final 2 minutes with these officials.
But it's not going to be the same officials for this game.
Right, but those officials were probably involved in a two-minute report from 2 weeks ago. So they'll look at it and go, okay, we're in the final 2 minutes here. This is how they screwed up. The NBA admitted that they screwed it up, so they're probably going to be minding their P's and Q's here. This is what we might be able to get away with. You said to yourself, it's human nature. So the officials from last night's game, if they're reprimanded in that two-minute report for how they handled those calls, you don't think they're going to handle those calls differently the next time they're on the court? And wouldn't you want to be armed with that information?
Well, I mean, if that's the tack you're taking, then what I would say, it has to be kept in-house. It should not be made public. You should not anger a fan base. The officials should know they screwed up. And if you want to tell the team, this is what happened the last 2 minutes, it cannot be made public, that's one thing. But making it public doesn't do anybody any good but aggravate one fan base. Why are you doing that?
Because that fan base was aggravated anyway.
But now you're telling, by the way, you were right, so you could be ticked off, but there's nothing going to be done about it. It's a toothless thing. Not changing anything. So I don't understand the good of it, other than to aggravate people. I don't even think the team should need to know. The officials should know that they screwed up. They should be called on the carpet, you missed this call, so they know never to miss that call again.
Don is right. It is something interesting, though.
How so?
Well, waiting for the information is now like a new thing to do. Like seeing, it has become a thing over the last couple of weeks of like, let's see what it said, what they say in the 2 minute report. It is becoming a thing that's worth paying attention to. I agree with you that it doesn't, in the end, it doesn't change anything. It will probably just lead to ill will towards the league and the officials. But just on the outside looking in as a fan, it is something interesting to pay attention to.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Danny in Long Island. Danny.
Good afternoon, man. What a beautiful day we have here on Long Island. Hope it's the same wherever you guys are.
It is nice.
First of all, the gentleman who called up yesterday right before me and said to lock in DiVincenzo at over 15 points, I'd like to thank that guy wherever he is.
And there you go.
My house,
oh, my God. Didn't look good at halftime, right?
No, 4 points. Didn't look good at all early.
He looked like he was going to cost in the game, personally. Turning the ball over, bad passes, 4 points. And next thing you know, boy, bam, that's a nice win. If he's around my house, I'd like to buy him a beer and a burger.
Aww.
That'd be nice.
At that place you like. What's it called again?
Oh, the Old American. No, we could do better than that. For what I won yesterday, we could do better than that.
Oh, no.
But listen, and he can supersize it. But, you know, when the Pacers star doesn't have a good game, and he certainly didn't, you have to take into consideration that the guy who came in for him played very well and scored some points. And it's not like you could take a look at the Pacers' score and say, well, he only scored 5 points, usually scores 20, and we're going to add 15 points to that total. Those points were gobbled up by other people. And it's just like when Brunson's on a good night, he's not passing the ball anymore, so other people score less. So you just can't look at the fact that their star had a bad night and say, well, we're good for 15 more points. Well, what are you going to score, 150 points? So I think the Knicks did reasonably well. But, you know, I think we're in for another 6 or 7 game barn burner. I mean, the Knicks have not beat one team decisively. Every game is by the skin of your teeth and give me a nervous breakdown. And last but not least, we spent a good deal of time listening to the Drake, whoever he was battling with. Peter, you're with him. There was a shooting outside Drake's house last night.
Yes, there was apparently a shooting outside
Drake's house last night. Drake's bodyguards. Drake's a big gun control guy, but not for his bodyguards. They shot a guy outside his house. The media says unrelated. Okay, I'll play along.
Well, but it might be. But Danny, there's.
It might be. But
Danny, it may
be. Well, it might be, but it's a coincidence. The timing would certainly be coincidental. We have to agree to that.
The timing would be coincidental, but Toronto's had a lot of issues recently, and Drake probably has his own things going on in Toronto. So, I mean, Danny's been stepping into some interesting territory recently with his.
You know what's also interesting, Peter? I saw it in the Post today. They're both represented by the same agent.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have the same agent. So if I'm both of them, I'm telling them you got to drop the guy. I'm out. Well, because if it's nasty, it was the top of.
Well, say, which agent though? Because they the guys like that have multiple agents. Is it their booking agent?
The main guy. What was the name you said?
Is it their booking agent?
No, I think it's their overall agent for I think Wasserman. I'm not sure.
That is interesting.
But it was like Kendrick used to be with CAA and was like,
yes,
okay, and owned part of the company, and then he left there to go with this guy, or this guy used to be with CAA and left, and Kendrick went with him.
Interesting.
I also didn't know Kendrick won a Pulitzer Prize.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, Kendrick won a Pulitzer Prize.
So why is a guy that won a Pulitzer Prize getting down in the dirt like this in a rap war?
Because I think he sees this as a battle for the soul of the culture. And he wants to show that he's not just a guy who wins Grammys and Pulitzer Prizes, but he's still able to get into it and scrap. Hip-hop's different, man. Ultimately, with hip-hop, there are things that make it different, and the battling element is one of those things.
Is this a big thing on the show in the morning?
Yeah, well, how would you say, yeah, dude.
Every minute?
Every minute, every day, pretty much. It's become pretty much every minute, every day.
Wow.
Yeah, it's maybe not every day, but it's a lot. It's a lot.
I'm going to look this up right now.
What are you
right
gonna, now? What are you going to look up?
I'm going to give you the guy's name.
Oh, who the agent is?
Yeah, because I have that kind of stuff.
Brent Smith.
Here we go.
Is that what it is?
What did you say?
Brent Smith.
Brent Smith.
Brent Smith.
Wait, wait a second. His name.
Stand
is
by.
Brent Smith.
Brent Smith.
Wasserman Music.
Hmm.
So somebody said, "Is he picking sides?" And then they said, "Well, maybe he's laughing all the way to the bank. His diss tracks have racked up millions of streams."
Millions and millions and millions of streams. It's really crazy. I just hope that whatever happened at Drake's house, even if it's related, by the way, it's unrelated. It's not related to Kendrick. It could be related to the whole energy that's come from the entire thing. But I assure you, well, I can't say legally assure you, but from my opinion, Kendrick isn't like, well, I'm kicking this guy's ass in this battle. You know what we should do? Send someone to shoot up his house. Like, that's just not happening. So,
you know, but, you know, even in the music, I like this happens. I remember that, you know, the big diss tracks between David Cassidy and Barry Manilow. Oh,
now,
I love that went on.
The Leif Garrett Sean Cassidy. That is very underrated.
Because they accused each other of.
Because you know what? David was kind of fugazi. Sean was the one that
he was the real one.
Yeah.
By the way, though, I will blow your mind. You want to hear what I could say is one of the first diss tracks of all time?
Yeah.
Michael may not be familiar with it. Don, I think, will be. I Dig Rock and Roll Music. By Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Okay.
If you ever listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Straight diss record. They do impressions of people. They mock people. It is a straight up attack. They make fun of the mamas and the papas. They make fun of basically all the things that are happening in pop music because they say they're talking about nothing.
Well, you remember
kind of thing, actually.
Leonard Skinner answering Neil Young with Southern Man.
True.
So it's been going on, but not to this extent.
This is a bit different.
But the technology
is
different.
Frank Sinatra and Jerry Vale. I mean, it just goes back for
me. it's so true.
Listen, Frank had his problems. He would not take it to the record. He would take care of it himself.
Yeah, but yeah, that's a different.
The
chairman of the board to handle things different.
Let's go to Andrew in Queens. Andrew.
Fellas, how we doing?
Good. How you doing?
All good, all good. Before I get to my the last 2 minute report. Don, I was thinking of you last night. I randomly went and saw Motley Crue played at the Bowery Ballroom last night.
Okay.
And Vince Neil is not sounding too good nowadays. I'll just leave it at that. But good to see some rock and roll from the 80s. But anyway, look, with the last 2 minute report, here's the problem I have with it. If you're going to put it out there and cause agita amongst fans, there has to be some sort of repercussion that you put upon the officials.
I agree.
And I mean, and if the NBA doesn't do that, then what's the point of putting it out? Because here's the issue now. When you put out a statement saying that, you know, for instance, last night wasn't a kickball. Maybe there was some person who had a parlay that involved the Knicks having the under or whatever the hell it is. Now you're admitting that these officials messed up, possible gambling situations, and it causes even more anger amongst
fans. But your silence then suggests that you're on board with the mistakes. You have accountability. I would think as a fan, you'd want these officials to be held accountable.
Andrew's saying that make the officials not do the rest of the playoffs.
But I'm sure. Now we don't know how they're disciplined.
This person is not working game five because they missed such an egregious call in game three. Because at that point, again, going back to what Michael said, the whole thing with the refs and coaches' challenges and not being able to challenge, it's an absolute joke that this league,
officials
can screw up so many times.
But I'll give you an example. I will give you kind of a broader example than anything specific. All right, this is all documented. You know who the official was last night. You know the officials that screwed up. The NBA does not have those officials back. They admit that there was a screw-up when that two-minute report comes out. Well, then you could start to look and see, well, why is this guy officiating Game 7 of the NBA Finals when there were 15 examples during the course of the year of mistakes he made in the two-minute report. Like, so everything is being documented, and if you wanted to do the work, I'm not saying you should, but if you wanted to do the work, you could say, well, here's 15 different examples of where they screwed up in the final 2 minutes. Why is this guy working Game 7? Like, if somebody...
But I mean, you're going to put fans to work like that?
No, but I'm saying you don't think it's possible, Andrew, that if there's a screw up on a very high level in a big game, that somebody at ESPN or Fox or somewhere will do the work and say this guy should not have been there. But by documenting it, at least it's out there. When you keep silence, you're saying now there is nothing official. Now it gets forgotten about.
So it's out there, which is great. But again, the NBA has brought nothing to the table to say, this is the reason why we're putting this out there, because we're going to be holding officials accountable. There is no accountability announced yet. Possibly maybe within the next two or 3 years, now you have all this data based on how these
people act. But every league claims...
Keep putting it out there.
But every league claims that only the best officials work in the postseason. Only the elite work in the conference finals and in the NBA finals. Well, there it is, documented. Let's see if they're telling the truth, because you can go and look back and see all the mistakes that were made in the final 2 minutes. So it is documented at least.
The lead official in yesterday's game is a highly respected official. So people are going to make mistakes.
Oh, they
are. But if you're going to point out the mistakes that they make, then there should be ramifications.
But not if. But there could be ramifications if a guy is really good and those are the only mistakes he made all year. There shouldn't be ramifications. If Major League Baseball, let me ask you this, Michael. Wouldn't you have a lot more concrete evidence on how bad an umpire Angel Hernandez is if Major League Baseball did the same thing and actually outlined, yep, that was a ball, yep, he screwed that play up?
Well, no, there is that. We get that every day. No, it's not from baseball. It's from the independent arbiter. And we see exactly how. I mean, he consistently is the worst umpire at calling balls and strikes. But he doesn't get playoff appearances.
Right.
But I will tell you this. I mean, and he sued Major League Baseball, too, because he doesn't get playoff appearances. But there are guys that work in the playoffs from Major League Baseball that are awful umpires, that are accepted as awful umpires. These guys have unions behind them.
I understand that. But you got the two-minute report. Now, listen, they may not be using it, Michael, but I'm saying all you're doing is information is always good. You have that information. You could throw it right back in the NBA's face. Why is this guy working in a final where there were 20 occasions in the two-minute report that he screwed up? Like, it's there for you. So why is it documented bad? What, because it's going to upset the fans? The fans are upset anyway.
But with the advent and the over-advent of betting, this is really dangerous stuff to be putting out there.
I don't understand why gambling always gets thrown into the conversation.
Because gambling runs everything now.
But the fans are going to be red hot. The fans can see if a mistake was made or not.
So what if a fan is upset? But if somebody had lost like $100,000 and on a blown call, what are you making it known for?
But Michael, there's also the other half of the people that won because of the bad call. So that ends up being a wash.
Well, we know doing a talk show for 22 years, people that are upset call. Now, people that are happy don't call usually. So the people that are upset are more upset than the people who are happy because they got away with one.
But whether the NBA admitted it or not, they can see themselves whether it was a bad call and will complain. They've been complaining about officiating in sports for centuries. It's not going to stop them from complaining.
Let's take a brief time out.
Sure. Are you kidding?
Going back to the 1400s.
You don't think back when somebody was fed to the lions, there was somebody was probably
looking at the ref going, this is crazy.
We fed the wrong guy.
You got to review. They go, you can't review that one. He's going to the lions.
But there was a two-minute report. We did send the wrong guy.
We sent the wrong guy to the lions,
Yeah, but you know what? How about the family of the guy that got fed to the lions and it was inadvertent? Do they want to know that?
Hey,
do they want to know the two-minute report was wrong?
You don't know that. That's where the phrase, my bad, first originated.
Is that true?
Yes.
That is so. After the guy was fed to the lions and the family was upset, the arbitrator who decided the whole thing said, My bad. That was my bad.
Peter, tell us about baths.
My good, Michael. Peter Rosenberg here to tell you about my friends over at Bath Fitter. They did my bath, did an incredible job, customized it for my needs, process easy. An expert installer, done in a day, no demo, no mess, permanent high-quality solution with a lifetime guarantee. 3 million happy customers just like me, and for a limited time, get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bath Fitter system. Start designing your bath today like I did at bathfitterdesign.com. There's only one Bath Fitter. Hey, New York, it's Peter for Security Dodge, Long Island Ram and Wrangler headquarters. Did you hear about the 30 for 30 sale? Come get some. You can take up to 30% off MSRP during the next 30 days on brand new Jeep Grand Cherokee, 4XEs, and Gladiators. All up to 30% off. How about this? All MSRP. 30% off. Go see Michelle Scalise during their Memorial Day sales event and come get some.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Time for Dominoes, brought to you by London Jewelers. Mets in St. Louis, they won last night. Big home run by Nimmo. Also, Pete Alonso was I don't want to say benched. They sat him down for one game. You know, he's been really bad for about a week. And this is a guy who plays all the time, Don. He never takes a day
off.
So he did come in defensively, so that streak still goes. But, you know, Mendoza said it's hard to tell a guy like that. We're going to sit him down, but, you know, just give him a reset. But, you know, I don't think there's going to be a long stretch. One day is not a big deal, as we said when Judge was, you know, struggling. But if you sit him down for 3 or 4, I don't know if that does him good.
Their lineup, they got a 7:45 start tonight. Let me see if their lineup's out. I'm assuming he's in the lineup tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, I there's nothing wrong with giving a guy just a mental day. You know, 1 for 28, one hit in a series down in Tampa, I think kind of deserves you to just kind of get mentally reset. I don't think they've got the lineup out. I'll check, but I would be shocked if he was given
the Astros day. Still don't have the lineup out, and it's a 7 o'clock start, so that's probably not.
All right, wait a minute. He's there he is. He is batting fourth. He's in the lineup.
There you go. Those are Diamond Notes, brought to you by London Jewelers. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Let's go back to the phones.
Do it.
Knicks with a 1-0 lead in their best of 7 against the Pacers. Rangers with a 1-0 lead in their best of 7 against the Hurricanes. And game 2 is tonight. We'll have it right here. 6:30 is the pregame show with Don Marco LaGreca. And then the play-by-play is at 7.
You mentioned Marco. I didn't even know this was a thing until I got the email today. Marco made the All-Star game.
Wow.
I didn't know Pitch. Coach Pitch had an All-Star game. But he's on the All-Star team.
Congratulations.
Very excited. They're actually going to even have a home run derby, too. I'm assuming they're going to put the fence up around the infield. These kids are not hitting that, you know, bombs, but I was very proud.
Good for him. Look at that.
Wow.
Kidding me?
Let's go to Steven in New Jersey. Steven.
Big Steve.
Hey, how you doing? I haven't talked to you in a minute. I hope everyone's doing good. I just got to get right to it. I was rudely disrespected the other day when I brought up this topic on another radio show on the same station.
Okay.
Not going to say no names.
I'll say it. Go ahead. We're good.
They pretty much shut me down and didn't want to hear it. And I'm like, and their response was, oh, well, the refs, they're only coming out saying to be transparent. And it's like, why be transparent? Because it's a slap in the face to the team that lost and then the fan base and the organization that you clearly missed a crucial call. For instance, the Tyrese Maxey travel when they end up winning that game, when the Knicks should have closed it out that game, if they would have got it right. So it's like, why be transparent when all it's going to do is just cause ruckus? And then the gentleman brought up the parlays and stuff. People gambling. Now you're messing with people's money.
But you're not really messing with their money.
No, I mean, not really. You are, but when you're messing with the over and under. But my thing
is... But there's always somebody... to me, that's a wash. There's as many people that probably have the over as the under, as many people that have the opposite team winning. But by not saying anything, to me, and Stephen, you make a good point, and that's the same point that Michael and Peter has made. But to me, silence is agreement. So now you can sit there and go, see, the league just doesn't even pay attention. They're on board with these bad calls. No, they're telling you, no, we're not on board with it. We can't do anything about it, but we're telling you, we hear you, we see you, we agree with you. When is that ever a bad thing?
This time.
But my thing is, Dom, listen to this, Dom.
Okay.
Don. I'm sorry, not Dom. I'm sorry, Don. I caught myself.
You did. You caught it.
I'm sorry,
Don.
I'm sorry, Don. My thing is this, right? If a player can get fined, like Jamal Murray should definitely get fined for what he did last night. That was despicable. Like, why are you doing that? But that's besides the point. If a player can get fined for doing something they're not supposed to do within their rights of within the NBA, shouldn't a ref should be fined for missing a call? Because that's what their job's entitled to. Now, I'm not saying no crazy fine because they're not making the same amount of money as these NBA players are. But something for them to get it right, because it's like,
I don't hate that.
Doing this. It's in the NFL, NFL and it's in the NBA. I don't watch hockey or baseball, but I'm pretty sure they probably do the same thing over there also.
Steven, here's what I'd say. Thank you for the call. It's good stuff. Here's what I would say to Steven's point, though, Don. I don't hate the idea of, if you're going to have like these 2-minute report cards, having an overall report card for refs that people can see. And that way, over time, when there's a certain amount of demerits, there is some sort of loss.
Right, but whether
it's demotion, relegation, some sort of fine, obviously not to the level of the players.
But like, fine. Like, I don't think missing a call is the equivalent of throwing a heating bag on the court. But what if it's missing a foul shot? It's like, all right, you screwed up.
But
now, if you don't know the rules, that's something that's fineable or fireable or whatever. But if you miss a call, calls get missed. Sometimes the ball bounces between your legs. It happens.
But what if it's in such a regular fashion that it needs to be addressed? And if you're keeping track of it and people can see it, it might help you.
I would think, without knowing about it, that they are keeping track of it.
You would think so.
And that these officials that are not good, Michael even said, even though they have Angel Hernandez's back, he hasn't lost his job. He's not calling any World Series games.
Right. He has been affected.
Listen,
Phil Luckett wasn't calling a Super Bowl.
Don't be the guy with the t-shirt on in the pool like Dave Rothenberg.
Okay.
Don't do that this summer. Contact NJ Dye today and you'll be able to feel confident being shirtless after losing a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva, along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. Locations throughout the tri-state, where they're available from the comfort of your own home with live online video consultations. Lose weight the natural way, quickly and safely. Call 855-5NJ-DIET or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get slimmer before the summer without any shots. That's njdiet.com to lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Go to njdiet.com. Lose the weight for good.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.